freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehr has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com, 710 Sports app. I'm going to confess something here in just a moment, Brock. I'm having a crisis of conscience. I don't know whether I'm not going to necessarily stick by the opinion, but I'm having a crisis this morning. Before we do that, I just read the tweet, and so I'm sorry. It's fresh. Yes. It's fresh in my mind.
Kyle, but you okay with this? You're all right?
I can't get over this. Yes. Darren Rovell tweets just a few minutes ago. It was 19 years ago today.
Yep.
That the U.S. women win the World Cup at the Rose Bowl. You may remember.
Oh, yes, I do.
The soccer team winning 19 years ago. Nomar's wife, Mia Hamm.
Oh, yeah. We were at the Simpson wedding. Their beautiful daughter was getting married. It was actually at the Yacht Club for the reception where we had ours the year before. And unfortunately, that game was going. A lot of people left the reception.
Like the first time I'd ever seen anybody care about soccer. Yes. Julie Foudy, right? Isn't that her name?
Oh, well and done.
Who was the goalie on that team? I don't remember.
Oh.
I used to remember her name. In any
Brianna? Way,
there you go. Yeah.
Oh, Brianna Scurry.
Yeah.
Scurry. Sure. All right. So at that moment, Brandi Chastain famously takes off her shirt to celebrate. Everybody remembers. You've seen the picture. You've seen the video. Arms in the air. She's ripped. She looks. It's awesome. Such a great moment. Truly one of the great sports moments.
Probably should have been her statue rather than the man's face.
That's true. Yes. That's true. So here's what Rovell writes. 19 years ago today, U.S. women win the World Cup at the Rose Bowl. Brandi Chastain famously takes off her shirt to celebrate.
Yes.
Gets offers of $200,000 plus for the bra. Turns them down, gives it to her son, who is now 12. Mom, I don't want your bra. Give me 200 grand. Give me anything. The last thing in the world I want, Mom, is your brassiere.
Your underwear.
Mom, I don't want any part of your underwear. I don't want to think about the fact that you have or don't have underwear.
Why would he want his mom's bra?
Mom, I don't want your bra. Ever. Under any circumstances. And I don't care what famous thing you did in it. I don't want it. I don't want your bra. Mom. No bra.
I don't want your life.
Or your bra. Jeez.
I don't even want a picture of that in my house.
No. And the sun at that point was -7. Like, right? Am I doing the math right?
Oh, I thought you were doing a gambling reference.
No.
The sun was -7 to burn the bra.
No.
I don't want your bra. Weird. Let me just be very clear.
Can you imagine bringing your friends over to your house and it's framed in your room? Your mom's bra is framed on your wall.
No. I don't want any part of that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. This was not the plan to start the show with this.
No.
But once I saw it, I can't fathom being 12 years old and having my mom's bra as the most famous piece of anything in my house.
I don't want my dad's jock, and I don't want my mom's bra.
No.
Either one.
No chance. No thank you. No way. No how. So anyway, just a quick thought to open up the show today. Okay. I feel better now. This has been bothering me here for about 15 minutes.
Get back on track.
Who wants their mom's bra?
I don't know. I mean,
imagine that conversation.
Well,
so your mom
it is
comes
a sports bra. To be fair, it's not like a sexy bra, a normal brassiere. It is a athletic endeavor. It is one of the more famous, maybe the most famous sports bra in all of sports history.
The name alone, unfortunately, disqualifies it from being a piece of memorabilia that I want from my mom. From somebody else, it's cool. Like, if a collector paid 200 grand for Brandi Chastain sports bra, I think there's like some value to that. It is a truly awesome moment. It's one of the iconic pictures and sports moments, seriously, of our lifetime.
Right.
When it's your mom and it's her bra, you can't have it in your house, unfortunately. Right. It's got to go. Like, them's the rules. I don't make them. I don't create them. We're just here to enforce them.
I think I'm with you on that. I don't think I can take the other side.
No.
No.
There's no arguing the other side.
No.
Okay. It's for him to sell when he gets older. I don't know. Take the 200 grand and invest it.
Yeah.
I think it. At least then I don't have my mom's bra.
Like,
Titus is 8? How old is Titus?
Yes. Yeah, he's almost 12. He's Imagine 8. Molly giving him her bra. No. Like, no. I don't want that, Mom.
No, this is when we played the U.S. team, Titus.
Titus' reaction? Be like, what is this?
Titus have a lot of questions.
Titus is a collector of everything, but not that. I think even he would draw the line right there.
All right.
All right, good. Okay, get it back on track.
All right, you want me to? Can I tell you something?
It's about as odd as that story.
No, it's not.
Close.
Totally with you on this, Salk, says the texter. It's for him to sell when he gets older. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's way too early for these visuals. Not a visual, just what, hey, go right. Read his Twitter.
Right.
What do you want in my life? Yeah. I've been thinking recently.
Okay, yeah, so tell me how this goes before you just make your point. Or do you want to make your point and then we can discuss?
Maybe the Seahawks should sign Earl.
What?
Maybe. Not totally.
And maybe
what? Excuse me?
Yeah, maybe Brandi Chastain should give her son
a
bra.
That one is.
What do we do every day if you're going to do this today? Yes. What have we been doing for months if you're just going to come in here today and say, why don't we just give Earl Thomas money? Forget all the other things that I said and how ridiculous I told you were if you wanted anything other than Earl Thomas out of the streets. And now here we are on some random Tuesday and you're just sitting here wanting to give Earl Thomas money.
All right, first of all, it is not a random Tuesday, Howdy. Today is 7-10 day. So don't you try this random Tuesday thing. Today is 7-10, July 10th, 7-10 day here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And at 8:30, we're going to talk about that. We're going to give away some tickets to say thank you to all of our listeners. I also never said I wanted Earl Thomas out on the streets, and I never yelled at anybody who said that they wanted him here. I'm just having a little crisis of conscience. These things have confidence. Sometimes you feel like...
or confidence?
Both. Don't yell. Don't berate me today. Don't question me.
This is on you, Chastain. This is your fault.
Well, she's gotten me all over the place.
Yes. Okay, do you want Sean O'Hara?
Just maybe. Not definitely, Brock. I'm not saying they should do it. Like, I don't want to get to that point where I'm sitting here with the arguing with the sign Earl people, because mostly that's just players and people that like think that Earl's going to be great for the rest of his life. But you start looking at this team, and we're going to start the 12 most intriguing Seahawks players today at 9:15. Chris Peterson joins us right after at 9:30. And you're kind of going through the roster, and I know that young guy, like I can listen to myself say all the things I
this
try to remind myself.
This is very unbecoming of you.
I don't care.
This is very
But maybe they should, you know.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe they should just sign her.
Is this how it works in your home when you have a really tough discipline too? Is this how it works? That you guys have you and Heather formulate a wonderful plan. Here's a parenting idea. Here's how we're going to move this thing forward. You're totally on the same page. You know, Heather, I'm not even going to give a sports bra thing. No, you guys are just right there with it. And then all of a sudden, when push comes to shove, are you the one that kind of like, I don't know, Heather. I don't think I can do this.
Maybe. Sometimes.
She's like, we're on the same page.
Because here's the thing. Look,
we're on board with this. This is not tenable.
I think they should have traded Earl. I think they should have gotten whatever they could for him at the draft. They didn't do that. Now he's not only is this team not as talented when they've lost 5 Pro Bowlers and Earl would be number 6, but now he's just going to come in and disrupt and make the whole thing even worse. So unless you are prepared, and maybe you are, and maybe I am too. I don't know. I'm formulating this. Still, this is still coming out. Are you prepared to like go through the depths a little bit?
Yeah.
You're prepared to go through the depths.
Yeah, and this is from the guy that is, you know, tear things down, start anew. This is from the guy that lives in that baseball world all the time. This is from the guy that you got to be strong as a team. You can't cave. You can't pay for past production. And you can't give Earl what he wants.
He's only 29. He's not even 30.
Just because Earl's going to come in here and maybe fake a hammy or calf or something like that.
Yeah,
and
sounds like a disaster.
Try to hold you hostage. Just because Earl ran into the Cowboys locker room, by all accounts from players, was constantly into the Cowboys. Just because Earl said he was going to be there and he wasn't going to miss and he missed.
All of those
because
things.
Because of all of those things?
All of those things.
No, thank you.
I know you're right.
No.
I know you're right. But I know you're right. But my point here is
I know what your point is. You put together your list of the most intriguing players, and last year was at 25, could have extended to 35.
Because I'm sitting there going, am I going to put Trey Flowers and I don't even remember what's the guy's name, the other safety who they drafted last year,
Kendrick Thompson.
I'm going to put them on my list. I'm going to put what Ethan Posick. I'm going to put the huge guy Fluker, like
sure.
Brock. What are we talking about here?
Mike, you've already lost 5 Pro Bowlers. What's the 6th? I mean, that's the reality where you're looking.
Maybe
that's
right.
The reality where we're living.
Maybe
you
you're right.
Cannot.
Maybe you're
that
right.
That is what Earl and his folks want you to do.
Maybe.
That is exactly the game they want
all
to
right,
play.
Well, today they're winning.
You need me, don't you?
Sometimes we win the battle, sometimes you do, and maybe we'll win the war when it's all said and done. All I'm saying is today I was defeated on the battlefield, and it's time to retreat. 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, the Mariners are in Anaheim for a three-game series with the Angels. Mike Leake on the mound for the Mariners tonight. He goes up against Garrett Richards, 7:07, first pitch on 7:10 ESPN Seattle. Typical Angels to start their games at 7:07. I hate that. I can't stand 7:07. Everyone in the world starts at 7:05 or 7:10, but not the Angels. They've got to start at 7:07. They may be dead and buried, but these games end up becoming incredibly important for the Mariners. Every night, everybody who's good in baseball wins, and if you don't win, you're not keeping pace. That's the reality of the situation. They're going to need something from Mike Leake tonight.
A season ago, the Mariners finished under 500, and the Angels played a role in that. The Mariners were just 7-12 against Anaheim and just 3-6 in that building down there in Southern California. Now, you'll remember the Mariners this year are 6-3 against Anaheim. But you know what? Every one of those games was in Seattle. All three series to this point have been in Seattle against the Halos. And you know that some of the veteran players on that team, and Mike Trout in particular, is probably looking forward to that 400-foot shot that's been hit to right center. Mr. Upton, who hit one about 405 in Seattle and watched it die at the wall instead of go over, are looking forward to having the Mariners and Mike Leake and Marco Gonzalez and crew in their park. And the Mariners are going to have to score some runs. I'm waiting for Mike Flowers to say it in the first couple innings. You go on the road against a good opponent, and the Angels are still a good enough opponent. You're going to have to score some runs to win this series. That is my hope.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, Brock, you wanted it.
I did.
Howdy, you called for it. You guys wanted to see the A's sweep the Astros. Well, they are one quarter of the way there. A's remain one of the hottest teams in baseball, beat the Astros 2-0 last night, scoring twice late. Oakland is now 8-2 in its last 10 games. They've won 17 of their last 21, and they have cut the Mariners' lead for the second wild card now to 6 games. Good news, Mariners just 3 back of Houston, but man, the A's have not surrendered a single game in which they've led heading into the 8th inning. Why? Their two guys at the end are nasty. Trevino and Trinan, yep, both have been tremendous, for lack of a better word. And as good as Edwin Diaz has been, I think that they have the best 8-9 combination in all of baseball. And last night it was 7-8-9 as they ended up using Trevino for 2. Howdy, you can laugh and say the A's are trash, but they're sure not playing like it. And this is their gauntlet. You only get so many of them in an American League where most of the teams are bad.
Yep.
They've played their 6 against Cleveland, and they went 4-2. They're now playing their 4 against Houston, and they're 1-0. We'll see what happens, but I will be rooting against
them. Yeah, we'll talk to John Morosi. Looking forward to this. We're going to have to bump Morosi. He's usually at 9 on Tuesdays with Jeff Passan. We'll bump him to 8 because, as Mike said, Coach Peterson joins us at 9:30. And we will talk to John just about how dangerous these A's are. 17-4, as you referenced. They're 4th in the league in home runs. And I think very clearly what they are, a little bit like the Mariners, is Billy Beane has a conviction of what he's going to do. He's got the lowest payroll in baseball, so he can't do 10 things. He can do 2 things. And this year he's decided we're going to hit home runs and try to get ahead and shorten the game, and we're going to turn it over in the 8th and 9th and win those. And it's been pretty successful.
Pretty good starting pitching, though, too. Jeez.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, UW head coach Chris Peterson is going to join our show this morning at 9:30. That's why we're moving all these things around. That's why Morosi's at 8 o'clock. That's why we're going to do our most intriguing Seahawk at 9:15 instead of 9:30. Why? An opportunity to talk to Coach Pete is always a good idea. He is just such an interesting character. And he comes in just about ready to get going here with a team that has incredibly high aspirations. And they should. The expectation for this team coming off the big year 2 years ago and now with the big class is that they should be competing. Doesn't mean they have to get there, but competing for a national title.
NFL training camps open about 2 weeks. It's July 10th. About 2 weeks from now, you're going to start to hear about some of the rookies reporting all over the NFL. The college camps start about a week later, but the college freshmen are on campus. Coach Peterson doesn't get his chance quite yet to work with them. They're in classes or with the strength coach. But coming off the spring into this summer with the freshmen reporting, some freshmen who, by the way, I think have to contribute, especially a wide receiver right away. I know that Coach Peterson's counting down the days. He knows the number of hours before they make that road trip to Atlanta, play Auburn week number 1. Can't wait to dig into all those conversations with the head man who will join us at 9:30 this morning.
All right, there you go. That's three things you need to know every single morning at 7:10. I'm sorry, the Brandi Chastain thing is just, it stayed with
cleats,
me so far this
shin
morning.
Guards, so, uniform, anything.
But none of those are famous like the bra, right? I mean, like it's that's the thing. That's what made it so dramatic.
Yeah. Yes. It's kind of her ripping it. Yeah, I guess so.
Can't have it for your son. Huh? Sorry. Just, Mom, I don't want that. I don't want it. I appreciate the offer. I'm glad that you saved it and preserved it all these years for me. But I
and 12-year-old Mike would have totally negotiated. I'm not taking that. Give me the jersey.
Sell
give
it.
Me the cleats.
Give sell me it and give me the things. Money. Yes. I'll invest in my That's down exactly payment right. on my first home. But I don't want that. I'm sorry. I can't have it. Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
John, I got to admit something to you today.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. I'm having a crisis, an internal crisis of confidence. I'm wondering. I'm not saying, but I'm wondering. Should the Seahawks maybe just sign Earl?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
But, like, are you sure?
Well, not right now because he's not... Yeah, until you get to spend about a month with him to see where his mind is in relationship to this team, you can't do anything. I mean, because again, what if you sign him and give him $13 million a year and he still would rather be a Cowboy, that he doesn't have confidence that this team can eventually get back to the Super Bowl, you're wasting your money and you're eating up a big
slot. That's the case that he's not going to sign, right? I mean, like, if you go to him with that contract offer, I know this sort of sounds like the devil's advocate, and I've been on the other side of this staunchly all the way, and I really do in my heart think that they should let Earl go if he doesn't want to be here. They should have traded him for whatever they could get. But at some point, like, you start looking at what they're going to roll out there, and it's like, God, maybe they should just sign him and still keep one of these Pro Bowlers around.
Well, they can sign K.J. Wright, too, and get him as a Pro Bowler that can stay around. But once you start getting into those third contracts,
come on, but you know those two guys aren't the same. We can sit here and say that the sum will be bigger than the whole will be bigger than the sum of its parts. That may very well be true with the Seahawks this year, that they end up being better despite not having as much talent. But K.J. Wright is not in the same he's not on the same planet as Earl Thomas when it comes to talent and impact on this defense.
Well, I could agree with that because, I mean, you can put up with six Pro Bowls and an extended career. Earl Thomas could go to the Hall of Fame. I know it's hard for a safety, but, you know, he has Hall of Fame qualities, and K.J. Wright has Pro Bowl qualities, but that doesn't equal what you have there. But also, it's going to be less expensive to sign K.J. Wright than it is Earl Thomas, Ultimately, you've got to determine if you're going to give him a contract where he is with this team. And once he shows up, you spend a little time, take about a month or so. If he's all in, then you sign him.
All right, this is what it boils down to. Answer this question for me, John. Do the Seahawks have enough talent to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure, no, but I think they do.
I mean, are they going to make the playoffs? I don't expect you to be sure about that, but are you sure they have enough talent to make the playoffs?
Because you talked about yesterday, I'll give you a second to think about it. You referenced the 49ers team that lost the number of significant Pro Bowlers. And yes, it was Harbaugh and it was chaos. And organizationally, they're not in the same spot as the Seahawks are. I think back to Philly and Chip Kelly just saying, no, I'll clean house. I'll get rid of DeSean Jackson. I'll get rid of some of these good players. I even think of Carolina in their former GM who said, no, we can get rid of Josh Norman in this secondary and we're going to replenish. And in all of those situations, there was a fairly significant step back. Why is it that we can say, oh, yeah, you can lose six Pro Bowlers, but you're still going to be a playoff team?
Well, here's why I can say it, because, in fact, I did go back and research, and San Francisco in 2014 had 16 players who had been to the Pro Bowl. They went down to 7, so they lost 9. Now, technically, you can say the Seahawks have lost maybe 8. You can even add on Eddie Lacy and Blair Walsh, who had been to the Pro Bowler, but clearly they're not Pro Bowlers. Here's where the difference is. You know, they had 7 Pro Bowlers that went from a 8-8 team to a 5-11 team from 2014 to 2015 in San Francisco. Seattle, the quarterback, remember Colin Kaepernick, started going south with his play, and so they really didn't have enough left. At least with this team, I mean, you have three Pro Bowlers on offense, Russell Wilson, who's of course, and the quarterback being the key, and many consider him the top five quarterback in the league. You still have Doug Baldwin, you still have Dwayne Brown, you still have Wagner, Wright. We'll see about Earl Thomas, and so you have three special team guys. You know, Lockett and Janikowski, and they're all there. Same thing with DJ Alexander. So there's still enough there to squeeze a wild card. And Super Bowl, no. That's why they need another year to add, and some of the young guys will start to come through. I mean, you would think that Frank Clark, if he gets over 10 sacks, could be up for a Pro Bowl. I mean, other guys can step up too, but there's more talent on this team than it was San Francisco.
If they only need one more year to get back to being in a Super Bowl level, then maybe you should. If Earl's still going to be good in 2 years, I mean, if we're talking 3, 4, 5 down the
road. Earl, you got a contract.
Yeah.
Got it. Just like Jimmy Graham had a contract last year. All right, just like guys have contracts, play it out. And if he doesn't want to, then he's telling you to answer your question, John. I got to figure out where he's at. I think he's told you pretty clearly where he's at. He wants his money more than he wants this football team and to be a part of it.
And that's why you can't do a deal with him until you get to see where he is. And that'll take about a month. And so until he gets into camp, that month and the time just starts clicking away.
Hey, the supplemental draft is tomorrow. There's some rumblings that there's actually a couple cornerbacks, kid out of Western Michigan, Sam Beal, Adonis Alexander, a corner out of Virginia Tech, big corner. There's some rumblings that maybe these guys in the supplemental draft go higher than some of the draft picks we've seen lately.
Very possible. I mean, I think it's not going to be the case in Adonis Alexander. Some of it's off the field. I think will pull him down maybe to the 5th and 6th round, which could be a big bargain because he is 6'3 and can play man. Sam Beal seems to be the most intriguing because a lot of teams think that maybe that could be a 3rd round grade on him. And, I think Philadelphia, Buffalo, they'll be in the mix, even possibly San Francisco, but I think they'll probably pass. But I think that there's enough interest right now in those two that you could have two drafted. We haven't had any drafted in a supplemental draft since 2015 with Isaiah Battle, and he's on the Seahawks right now.
Hey, Coach Peterson's going to be with us here at 9:30. Who do you think is the most intriguing NFL guy he's got on his roster right now?
I kind of like Myles Gaskin because I just think, the running back position's having a little bit of resurgence, and you look to see, I think that he's a good running back. He could have turned pro this past year, maybe gone in the 3rd or 4th round. To me, he's pretty intriguing.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
Which of these three events do you think you could stand the best chance to beat Brock and Salk in? A speed closed folding competition, a standard one place endurance contest, or a chubby bunny contest?
I would have to, none of us are chubby, so I'll skip on that one. I would have to do the middle one because, I think that I could, just block my mind out and just do the stare and not be changed and all that. And Brock will probably start laughing at something, and Mike will get frustrated because he wouldn't want to put the time into it.
Yeah. This is pretty accurate. That's good reasoning.
You fold laundry? You good laundry folder?
No, I'm terrible at that.
Not a laundry folder.
No.
I'm excellent.
Big part of my life.
Let's put it this way. Thank heavens we have caregivers.
Well, Salk and I are excellent on that.
You don't stand a chance.
Chubby Bunny, John, is actually a game where you stuff marshmallows in your mouth.
Oh, okay.
And you see how many marshmallows you can stuff in your mouth at one time.
You don't have a shot against Bob.
I've been a 3-time defending national champ on that, so you're not going to win that. So shot you got, it sounds like, is it stare in one spot or stand in one spot?
Stand in one spot.
Stand in one spot. Yeah. I'm done on that.
Yeah, Brock won't have the patience, and Salk won't be.
I don't even have the patience to deal with this Earl Thomas holdout.
No, I know.
John, thank you. Enjoy your day. John Clayton will be back, of course, 10 o'clock for his show, and then 4 o'clock today with Danny Dave and more. They're going to be down at Druids Glen for 7-10 Day, which is super exciting. We love 7-10 Day. And we're going to be giving away Mariners tickets. It's the fireworks Mariner game, Pearl Jam-themed fireworks show.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what we got today. July 20th is the date against the White Sox. And so we'll be giving those away this morning at 8:30. Just a little thank you. For 7-10 Day, we appreciate it. All right. You can always listen to the show here in the 7-10 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Brock, I want to talk a little bit about that. I'm sorry, I'm off my game. This whole Earl thing and the Brandi Chastain thing threw me off this morning. I wasn't expecting all this. It just kind of, it's changed to me. The Mariners have come together in another unique way. We'll explore next on Brock and Salk.
Happy 7-10 Day from 7-10 ESPN Seattle.
Now live from the Alaska Airlines studio, here's Brock and Salk.
I see the Gene theme is continuing into the Brock and Salk show, Lydia, here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I tried so hard to moonwalk. Years.
And you couldn't pull it off?
No.
That's weird.
I just
That's
tried.
Surprising. Which do you think you could
socks,
have done?
I got the glove. I did it all. Parachute pants.
which did you work harder at and fail at? Getting under a 5.040?
Oh.
Or moonwalking?
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, the moonwalking phase and all that went out. I mean, the centipede, I threw my back out. I think it was the first time I ever threw my back out was doing the centipede.
Good for you, Brock. I mean, just kids, putting your full heart into
it. I tried it, Litz. Yeah, I tried it.
Is there one that you did, were able to master, that you were pretty proud of?
Not really. I think one of the little dances on the ground, on the cardboard, where you kind of kick your feet all up and kind of, I don't know,
like
go in a circle.
Break dancing?
Yeah, the break dance. Yeah, but the centipede, the moonwalk were obviously break dancing too. But there was one where you kind of got on the ground. I don't know what it was called, but I was decent at that.
Were you spinning?
Yeah, kind of spin around.
It would involve spinning.
Yeah.
That seems like something would be right up your alley. What can I tell you? So how did the Gene songs go this morning, Lydia? Everyone is working on Send Segura to the All-Star Game. Voting at mariners.com/vote. Gene Segura on that final five vote list, along with Stanton and Andrew Benintendi
and
a couple
of Rosario
guys.
And sure, all those guys.
Andrelton Simmons. And I think, you know, there is some rumor that he's got a shot, and especially if he ends up sort of in the finals here. Like, once I think the votes are going to come out for the first time later today, and I think if Mariners fans see that they've got a shot at, like, if it comes out in their fourth or fifth, I think that people are going to be like, yeah, all right, you just can't go up against Boston and New York. But if it comes out, it's just like, you know, he's in second place, and it's him and Benintendi or Stanton or whatever.
Yep.
I think Mariners fans are going to get juiced up and go after this.
For you, and the Mariners are going all in, and some great audio from many of their teammates. We talked about it yesterday. I think being pretty emblematic of this team caring about the guy next to them even more than themselves. But question for you, maybe this is centered to you, Kyle, is do you think more Mariner fans are Cougs or Huskies? If you looked at the Mariner fan demographic, because the answer to this will tell me what kind of shot they really got in this thing. Do you think there's more Cougar fans or more Husky fans in the overall
Tough.
Mariner demographic?
Probably Husky.
You think there's more Husky?
Because it's a very city, Seattle.
I was thinking
centric.
That kind of yesterday when Danny, David Moore and these guys, there's a lot of complaints about every team gets a representative on the All-Star game, and now the Mariners should have more guys, and they're not, and like how quickly we forget that the Mariners benefited from that for a very long time.
I mean, my guy Brandon Leake. My guy Brandon Leake. Him and I speak in little pigeon English.
Brandon Leake was one of three Mariners on that All-Star team. That wasn't a courtesy. When did the Mariners benefit from that?
Mike, are you going to argue that the Mariners have been really good for the last
15
years?
I'm not. I'm going to ask you during at least our time here, during the time since 2009 when I got here. I can't think of a year the Mariners have had a token
All-Star. They actually
had
kind of
It was always Felix Hernandez.
Felix or Robbie.
Or Ichiro or Grit. Yeah. I mean, like, there's always been somebody here that was worth putting on the All-Star team.
True.
I'm not arguing that the Mariners have been good for that history, but I don't think they've actually benefited from that rule. I really don't.
Yeah, they've not necessarily been the team that's had nobody.
Brandon Leake sounds like the obvious answer, but he was one of three that year. So they didn't need to send him.
Back to my original premise, and the reason I asked Kyle the question is because if there were more Cougars, then you really have a shot to win this. The Cougs show up.
That's true.
The Cougs, when there's fundraising, when there's a flag to fly out of the Space Needle, when there's more sunglasses, the Cougar fans have always shown up. And if the Mariners are indeed in this race, and it sounds like we'll understand a little bit more this afternoon when the results come out, if they're indeed in this race, at least in the top two or three, the Cougar contingent of the Mariners fans are going to show up.
I think that makes some sense. Well, the Mariners are certainly trying, and not just their fans. I know Lydia, her wrist hurts. She's been pressing that button so many times. She's going to get carpal tunnel when this is all said and done. But the teammates, the group of Mariners that just seem to really enjoy each other so much, they're working hard for their guy.
Every fan that votes within the next hour has the opportunity to win these game-worn signed cleats by me. Go out there, send Gene Segura to Washington, D.C. Have a chance to win these.
That's Ryan Healy offering up his cleats. Slightly better, I guess, than Mom's bra. But also, I don't really, I'll be honest, and it's a really nice thing, Ryan Healy's. I don't want Ryan Healy's cleats either. I just don't. I don't want your dirty cleats in my house. I'm sorry. I appreciate the gesture, and I know there are some people that do. I've said before, I'm not a big memorabilia
guy. Yeah, I was going to say, Salk, is there something that would work for you?
You're telling us
what won't work.
Not really.
I'll give you my temple football
I'm not a big
jersey.
Memorabilia guy. Why do I want Ryan Healy's dirty cleats?
Would anything impress you?
Yeah, but not a piece of sports
memorabilia. Do you want Muhammad Ali's boxing gloves? Would those be cool?
I'd sell them. They're too sweaty, Brock. Gross.
All right, yeah, because Ryan Healy and Muhammad Ali are at the same level.
Hi, this is Mike Zanino coming at you. Tried to get Jim Segura, our shortstop, voted into the All-Star game. If you guys vote within the next hour, I'll be sending out an autographed bat to one lucky fan. So please vote Gene.
No, that's too bad. I was hoping for a used kneecap pad.
Sorry, nobody can win that prize. I'm sorry.
Oh, you've already taken that?
I actually have flooded that ballot so many times. Nobody can win it. It's like statistically impossible for anyone other than me to win it now.
I thought he would have sent you something as a thank you already, Howdy. You didn't need to win it.
So you don't want Healy's cleats?
No.
Howdy's got Zanino's bat. What else?
What's up, guys? This is D. Gordon. Whoever votes for Gene in the next hour on Twitter to get him in the All-Star game, I'll take home a pair of Moss Game U Spikes. Make sure you go out here and vote for Seggy. He deserves to be in the All-Star game.
Hey, you got D. Gordon's U Spikes also.
Okay.
Marco Gonzalez signed a hat. Are you okay with that?
It's cooler than, it's better than Spikes.
You'd want D. Spikes.
No, I don't want any of that.
You're not the right person to ask for this.
No,
Mike.
I'm not.
I don't like displaying anything in your house.
Agree.
Other than bougie art that you find at some gallery in France.
Let's vote for Gene.
Edgar keeps it pretty simple. Like, Zanino's got a whole thing.
He signed a gooey duck. he has a signed gooey duck.
Don't sign a gooey duck. Yes. Whatever you do. I think you can get arrested for that.
Let's vote for Gene.
They filled the rest with like 5 seconds of music just to kind of fill the space.
Hey, Edgar, I know you're busy. We need you to say something about voting for Gene Segura. Huh?
One more
time. Vote for Gene.
Give me Edgar one more time.
Hold on.
Let's vote for Gene.
Let's vote for Gene.
He keeps it very, very simple, Brock. Just vote for him. Edgar says to. I don't know. There's a few of the examples. If you want to make something more out of this, and you probably can, it's cool to see the Mariners coming together to do this. And it probably is yet another cool example of the type of team environment they have.
I mean, you can debate with Kyle about whether or not the Mariners have had token all-stars through the years. And you may be right. They've had at least one star over the last 20 years.
I mean, they may have before our day here. But in the last, I mean, since Ken Griffey Jr. got here, they have had every single year either Junior or Ichiro or Felix or somebody that has been a legit.
Or Michael Pineda or Iwakuma.
But Kyle, it wasn't just them.
Yes, it was.
There was just one. It was just Michael Pineda?
Uh-oh, be careful.
He was the only one on that
irrelevant.
Team? What?
I mean, if you want me to look it up, I guess I can.
I looked at this list just the other day. I think Pineda went with either Felix or somebody else.
Right. Like, the Mariners have stocked the All-Star game for the last 20 years.
No one is saying that. Don't change the argument just because you're losing. No one is saying that.
Don't get angry.
Literally,
Kyle.
I'm not arguing.
But the only way you get the token one is if there's only one.
Yes.
What am I missing here? What is the point you're
trying missing at? How little I care. That's what you're missing.
Just
please move on.
I'm wrong, so now I don't care. I see how it goes.
Here's the part of this whole thing that I really loved was the fact that these seem like the Mariners are helping them along and getting the team behind it. But Nelson Cruz, I think, was the first person out of the gate offering one of his signed bats. I mean, he even had his own hashtag. It was like bat for Segura or something. And I think he hopped on it immediately, like on the day of.
I mean,
and I think that speaks to his leadership and how much he cares about this team.
Lydia, you have to love this. Like of everything the Mariners have done.
Oh, absolutely.
And anybody, right? You have to just totally dig. Like in a wonderful way of just this community, this group of players. Okay, we can argue about whether token all-stars. You cannot argue the fact that over the last 10 years, there is not a Mariners team collectively you could ever imagine doing this, like pulling for one of their guys. Not only do they have three legitimate, and they may get Paxton a fourth, but to think of a Mariner team, any of these teams over the last decade plus, where they would legitimately go to these lengths, that it wouldn't feel totally artificial and contrived, that they would actually genuinely want to do this. There is no chance this happens in any of the teams in recent vintage at all. And probably go back to the teams that this team mirrors, and that's the early 2000s with the Olerudes and the Moyers, and you could see those in the Buhners. You could see those guys totally doing it. And again, I think emblematic of just this group of guys.
There's no year that they had just a token star. I'm looking at least not since 1995. Every single year, it's been Junior or Ichiro or Felix.
Care. He don't care.
Cruz, Cano. Like, that just hasn't happened that way.
Okay, he doesn't care.
I know he doesn't.
He's got his finger over his mouth, and he's not even looking at you.
It's
right
going to be a super awkward golf game today. It's me and Kyle sitting in a cart today. Lydia, are you coming to hang out?
I don't think I can. I have to do a little work on the Cairo show. Right.
Well, then I guess Kyle can ride with Howdy, and I'll have to ride by myself as an outcast. Yes. All right, Coors Light's Blue 42 coming up next here in Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42. Blue 42.
All right, got me a little Coors Light's Blue 42. Of course, we do this every day at 7:45. Chance to ask Brock a couple good football questions. Let's start here. We'll start with some college football since we're going to be talking to Chris Peterson today. Who is the we're going to go through the most intriguing Seahawks players. Who's the most intriguing Husky?
Chico McClatcher.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, Uncle Lukey and I were sitting down, you know, after we sorted things out, after I gave him a pair of my used pants and made sure that he knew that I wanted him on the fishing trip and everything else. We started talking ball. And he's like, who's going to be the UW's just – and Luke comes at this from an offensive coordinator standpoint. Because that's what he's done at a very high level at three schools. He said, who's going to be their just – their fear factor guy? Who's the guy offensive? And Miles Gaskin's tremendous. Jake's going to be a senior. You know, I was like, Ahmed's – you know, Saved's a guy – or Savon Ahmed's a guy that – jeez, I butchered that. Savon Ahmed's a guy – that can absolutely, CTE, can absolutely change a game and got his opportunities last year. But I said the most intriguing, Luke, is Chico McClatcher.
Browning takes a deep shot for McClatcher. Touchdown, Washington. 43 yards, Jake Browning to Chico McClatcher.
Remember that guy as a freshman? He was a little bit like Ahmed, where he just, every time he touched the ball, you're wondering what he is going to do. And obviously a devastating injury the following year and coming back from that, missing really the spring. He was doing individual stuff, but certainly no team aspect. And a little bit like Tyler Lockett, had to get his legs back underneath him. Chico's got to get his legs back underneath him. But you give me Ahmed, you give me Gaskin, and you give me McClatcher, a three-headed monster there in the slot, in the backfield, two backs, all of the fun toys for Bush Hamden to play with. Yeah, Chico's a guy, to me, that's incredibly intriguing.
What's the guy's
forward.
Name again?
Savon Ahmed.
You know, Mike Morgan, who's a special teamer, he might go. Tukafu, Tuvaluafo, you know, he may stay.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. We'll make sure we have the right guy.
They now have two guys, DeMarcus Dobbs and Tukafu.
Signings today, John?
It was a big day for signings. I mean, you know, first off, the Seahawks got Jesse Williams back. Will Tukafu came back, the fullback who can also play on the defensive line.
Tukafu got a lot of these in here. I don't know why there's so many.
Tukafu was a tough one.
Tuvaluafo. Tuvaluafo is still one of my favorite things ever happened on the station. All right, question number two.
You better be careful.
Why? Kyle's mad at me. Lydia's mad at me.
You're going to end up in the report card if you don't watch out.
Huh?
He's going to give you a bad grade in the report
you
card.
You are going to be golfing by yourself. Oh, look at the 710 family out there. Those afternoon show guys had such a blast. Oh, there's Bob Gross and Tom. They seem to enjoy. Where's the morning show?
How come they're hitting each other with golf clubs?
There's just salt. Right.
Question number two. More on the Huskies, Brock. Phil Steele has them as the clear pick to win the Pac-12. How come?
I brought my magazine for you. You want to borrow it? No? You're not good with it?
Actually, no.
Well, let's see. They've got the number one D-line group, the number two linebacker group, the number one secondary group, the number one quarterback group, the number two running back group, and I thought he missed it. He put the UW line as the number three. To me, they're either one or two in that group. So you start to get to the head of the class at every one of those position groups. I don't care what preseason magazine you're looking at or which guy is evaluating. When you've got that much depth across the board at so many of those position groups, you're going to be picked to win the Pac-12. It's going to make Coach uncomfortable. He won't want to talk about it at 9:30 this morning. But at Pac-12 Media Days in about 2 weeks, that's exactly where the Huskies will find themselves because the depth of this roster is better than anybody else's in this conference.
Question number three. All right, Brock.
Okay, Saul.
Why shouldn't they sign Earl?
Because he doesn't want to be here.
If he signs, then he wants to be
No, he does not. If he signs, the only reason he signs is they cave financially. He just does not want to be here. His buddies are all gone. Okay, his cohort next to him, his buddy on the outside, everybody is gone around him. He's the last one left. And more than anything right now, Earl wants one thing. And I don't crush the guy for it, and I don't blame it. But right now, he wants one thing. He wants a contract extension. Period. End of story. And that's not going to happen in Seattle. And you of all people should know, as fiscally responsible as you are and you want your teams to be, they cannot do a deal paying him $13-plus million a year. Can't do it moving forward. Can't do it. And that's what he wants. He wants his contract. He wants that more than he wants being a Seahawk. He expressed that by missing mandatory minicamp on top of every other possible workout this offseason. He wants his deal. He's not going to get his new deal here in Seattle.
All right, that's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Of course, we do that every single day at 7:45. Did you see the story Kyle sent over of this drunk driver in California?
Oh, boy.
For whatever reason, this one made me laugh. So the guy... He's arrested. He's pulled over on a suspicion of drunk driving, which in and of itself is not great.
Not funny.
But then
he
then goes to light his cigarette, and he doesn't have a lighter on him. And did he crash, Kyle? He crashes, which is why the car is on fire.
Correct.
He crashes.
Yeah, the car's in a ball of flames.
I'm sorry. I left a key part of the story out. He crashes, so the car is on fire. He is taken out. He's out of the car. He's safe. He's going to get arrested on drunk driving charges, but before he does so, he wants to light a cigarette. He doesn't have a lighter, so he lights it off his own burning car.
Wow, and that's not Florida, man.
No, it's not Florida, man. How was that California
that
news?
That is California
not,
guy.
That's right where you were, dude. That was in Sacktown.
Bro, by the way.
You didn't see that
I didn't
Sacktown?
Tell you guys this story. No, but I had one of the most harrowing events in my life driving a car the other day. I forgot to even tell you guys this. We were coming back from Haley's tournament down from beautiful, is it Livermore, Dublin, that area, and driving across the little mountains there to, through Stockton and back up. And all of a sudden, there's like a car fire. I thought it was a car fire. It's like, oh, that's a car fire off the side. It's like 4-lane highway. Everybody's cruising pretty fast, and it's probably a mile in the distance. It's a big plume. And all of a sudden, it is bigger. I'm like, whoa, this is really big. Now everybody's like slowing down. I'm like, don't slow down.
Keep driving. Let's go.
Yes, keep driving. And people were like slowing down to slow down, and you couldn't see it. And it was an enormous fire.
Wow.
It was pitch black, like ash coming up through the into the car. Yes. And Macy was just a wee bit worried, but thankfully we made it out, and I think everybody else did, but that was pretty crazy.
All right, well, you talk about being a wee bit worried. That's how I feel about the Oakland A's. They win again yesterday. They're only six back. They've won 17 of 21. How big a threat are they? We'll ask John Morosi that question and more next on Brock and Salk.